You want to pull someone over and, like, you know, express these words to them in this language, but they don't get it.
Right? I did it. I did it.
Hello, and welcome to the Praise Arrow podcast. The following is a conversation I had with Miss Damilia, a graduate student who is originally from Kazakhstan. She loves to learn new languages and is also the host of a recently started podcast named Bir Söz, which is Kazakh for one word. Whether or not you're a language enthusiast, I think you will find this conversation quite enlightening. Happy listening.
Hi, Damilia, and welcome.
Hello, Praise.
First, thanks a lot for making time for
thanks
today.
For the invitation.
So I wanted to start off by just asking you how many languages you speak for the benefit of those here. You can name them.
So my mother tongue is Kazakh, so I fluently speak Kazakh. Second language is Russian, so I speak fluent Russian. English for professional purposes and not only. Also, I think C1, like, if I want to say, I can put it very professionally in the sense, like, according to the European standards of level, there are three levels, A1, A2, B1, B2, C1, C2, uh-huh. Where C2 refers to the native speaking, and C1 is a professional business one, the highest you can get in that one. So, I think my English is C1,
uh-huh.
Almost C2, the German, I also speak German, which is B2, which is upper intermediate.
Uh-huh.
Turkish, I would say A2, like, I can understand most things. It will be somewhere between pre-intermediate and intermediate. I think that's it.
Cool. So we've got how many in total? It's about
five,
right? Yeah, so definitely a polyglot.
I'm not sure, like...
A polyglot is technically, you know, like, 5+ languages. Mm. Yeah, I mean, people have different definitions, but the most common... Some say 4+, but... The most common definition is like 5+ languages.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I'm putting.
And I found it interesting when you told me you speak so many languages. And well, most people around us where we are, you know, speak different languages. Yeah. And it was interesting to hear that you speak German and Turkish as well. Mm-hmm. Why did you pick up this language? I mean, Russian, Kazakh, that's understandable. The other two, apart from English.
Right. I probably have to explain that. So let me give a brief. So regarding the Turkish, I was actually studying in the Kazakh Turkish high school for about 2.5 years.
Uh-huh.
And Turkish was also taught there. And we had Turkish teachers. It was a lovely experience. So this is where my beginning journey with the Turkish language started. I had started in like 7th grade and then until the 10th. And then later I tried to still keep up with the Turkish because I really like the culture.
Yeah.
So this is where I picked up the Turkish. Regarding the German, German was totally my idea. So I started it during my bachelor studies. So I started on the first year of bachelor and just continued with the courses and kept going. So far, I've done many courses. But it was totally my idea. It's not because people around me actually speak German or I actually visited Germany.
Yeah.
It's just...
Wait, you've never visited Germany?
I visited Germany once.
Okay.
But it's not that I was really traveling there a lot. That's why I needed a language. No, it was not the primary reason. I think I just like the structure of the language and how strict it is.
Uh-huh.
And I think, so I actually wanted to learn more languages. So I thought, which language can I actually dive into? So I thought, why not German?
Why not German?
There was an impact actually for some of my colleagues too, but that's another story.
Okay, cool. So I think we've covered the languages you speak and when you started learning each language. So now that you've learned up to 5 languages, you know, you have different sort of experiences, you know, the ones you learned from birth and the ones you picked up later on in life. What would you say is the ideal way to learn a language? I mean, intentionally learn a language. I know if you are born into a multilingual environment, that, I mean, there's really nothing you can do about that. You pick it up. But apart from that, the part that comes in intentionally, if you could, you know, go back and start learning afresh, what would you say would be the ideal way?
Actually, I can tell you exactly what it should be because I started picking up Spanish now. Mm-hmm. So I tried, I was visiting Spain this summer, and I thought maybe I can pick it up so easily, but I didn't have that much time, but I still want to do that. So how would I start now as being adult and actually like wanting to learn one language specifically? I would, first things first, there is a motivation. Like if there is no, like how cliche it may sound, but if there is no motivation or you will not keep the consistency, you're not going to get the language.
So you need a sort of reason to be learning in the first place.
Yes, in the first place. There should be either a reason or you really like to, like you want to speak that language because it's really sounding beautiful or for different reasons. But there should be a goal or motivation that always keeps you flamed.
Uh-huh.
So first things first, if you are not being consistent, it's not going to work. That's it.
It's like you learn something today and then, you know, 2 months later, you're like, oh, where did I leave off? And you try to start over.
I mean, that's fine too. It's just like you, because learning a language is like, it's not a paid job that you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you do for yourself. You really have to enjoy the process. And if you don't enjoy the process, it's not going to get along for like long-term goal. So I would say first, you need the motivation to keep a long journey, because you, I like, okay, I speak Kazakh and Russian, but there are mother tongues, but I cannot say that I know all the language, because language is so
DS, yeah.
And it's like, I'm still learning English. How many years have been I speaking it for so long, but I'm still learning something every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long journey. It's never ending one. And you still have to be able to keep it up. So yeah. Regarding the, like the more practical aspects, like where I would actually start if I want to get going with the language, I know there are many applications that usually people suggest. Like a typical one would be Duolingo, you know. If you want to start super easily, just sign in and so on. But actually, I don't personally, in my opinion, Duolingo is not a super application for myself. Mm-hmm. Like I would not go for it, because I know a consistency is will be lacking there, because the way they teach language is really not my approach. It's very like only one phrase, only
yes.
No, because maybe it's the way I think, but I like to pick up the structure, like because there is always the basic structure of a language, of most languages. Like there is one structure that you can build up the words on top.
Yeah.
So like I am here today, like there is a to be part, there is a pronoun part, I am, I, you, and so on.
Uh-huh.
And there is a verb part, which is usually consistent among all the language groups.
Yeah.
So this is what I would pick up first. So there are different things you can do. You can either, there are two ways. So either you do a self-study and you just want to start by yourself. You don't have time to go anywhere. You don't want to get a teacher. Just start by yourself. There are plenty of resources out there. Or you can actually have a guided help. You can get a teacher, a tutor, or sign up for a course. That's one thing. So this is what I did for German, because I think this is a fast track system. You don't have to fail by yourself too many times. There is always a guided help. Mm-hmm. Tells you this is the way it should be. This is the next homework. You don't have to have a lot of pressure from outside and think, what should I study next? What should my topic be? How should I do it? When should I? No, there is a system, there is a help, and you just keep going with a course.
So I think, you know, one thing you mentioned about the tutor aspect, you know, a lot of people are like, I don't want to have to pay somebody and all of that, you know.
And do it by myself.
Yes. And I think, you know, there's a lot of information there about, you know, self-study,
right,
which to an extent is useful, but you have to know your personality as well. You know, if you're the kind of person that can just, you know, pick up the book and listen to the audios, whatever, and just go on yourself, be consistent. But very often the supreme value of a tutor, I think, is in the fact that they can keep you consistent. Yeah, because you've paid something and so you have to get the value of, you know, the value for your money.
You actually work.
Interesting thing about Duolingo. So when I started learning Chinese, I actually started with Duolingo.
Yeah.
Though I still use Duolingo till today, but like you said, the structure of Duolingo is not really suitable to understand the full context of a language. So I didn't understand the context of Chinese from Duolingo. In fact, Duolingo wasn't what really pushed me to learn Chinese in the first place. So I started by watching I started by watching Chinese dramas. So it wasn't like I started watching Chinese dramas because I wanted to learn the language. So I stumbled upon a Chinese drama from somewhere. And then I was like, okay.
It's a hard way.
Actually, like, I don't think I would have learned Chinese otherwise.
Really?
So, yes. Okay. Because, you know, people have different ways of getting into the world of language. And for me, for Chinese specifically, I don't think I would have gotten in otherwise. So there was Korean. And I started learning Korean at some point. But for some reason, I think maybe the Duolingo structure, it just didn't fit, and I kind of just lost interest.
Korean is very structured, though, like the language, because I watch a lot of dramas, so I can almost understand them.
It's very structured.
It's very
structured. When we talk about the grammatical rules, it's a lot. I think with Chinese, the grammar is very simple. So when I started watching at first, you know, the language sounded strange because, you know, first time like watching a Chinese drama. But for some reason, I just kept watching, and then at some point, I could figure out the pattern. Like, it wasn't that complicated. I was like, okay, you know, I kind of understand the placement of words, and I thought, okay, maybe I should give this a try. So I started on Duolingo, and I think for Chinese, what made Duolingo more appropriate for a start is that Chinese just has characters.
Yes.
And so Duolingo just gives you those characters. And so for a language like Chinese, where you have to memorize the characters, it's kind of easier to get into immediately. You know, the moment you start, you're already learning a word. You just have to memorize. And so I kept going and going. And till now, I use Duolingo just to keep me consistent, especially if I'm not getting out and talking to people. I just need that thing to keep me going. But I would say what really helped me with, you know, pronunciation and getting immersed in, you know, Chinese, it's the movies and the dramas. And I think so, because when I meet some people, they're like, okay, your accent is good. I'm like, trust me, I don't really speak that well. It's just movies.
I picked up everything from there.
Okay,
but actually, I would also add regarding the Duolingo, because like my roommate, she has been doing the Duolingo. If Duolingo doesn't work for me, it doesn't mean it doesn't work for others.
Yeah.
I know for many people it does, including my roommate. She has been doing the French for 1 year. I mean, and she now speaks like quite good.
Oh, nice.
Like she can understand most structures, and she tries to practice with the French people out here. So I think it definitely works for some people. But for me, who cannot push myself to be consistent
here,
just by opening application and doing everything, it doesn't work for me.
Yeah. Actually, you know, there was this period where Duolingo was like, you know, there are these reminders they have, and you know, it starts getting pretty sarcastic sometimes. They're like, oh, well, I guess everyone gives up. It's okay.
I received the same too. Like when there is a time point, like 30 days, probably like some kind of dramatic notification.
Anyway, so moving on from, you know, the different methods, now that you have these experiences, what would you say are the pros and cons of being able to speak multiple languages? I mean, pros and cons, because, you know, there are pros and cons to everything, but I mean, probably there are more pros than cons. But, you know, you just go ahead.
Okay. So let's start positive. Let's start with the pros. So, I mean, as someone living abroad, and I mean, generally, it's the freedom and the view, the vision to the world changes.
Yes.
So it broadens up the whole horizon, the way you see the world, because there are so many different languages, and the perception of the language is very different from one another. The idioms, the way idioms work in different languages they describe so well the character of the nation. And they're very different, and then you can try to understand, or you can become more tolerant. I don't want to say that, you suddenly become super, like, you become super aware, and you become more tolerant to other opinion. That's a pro. Another pro, of course, you can always talk and impress someone. That's always, like, so unexpected, you know? That's always a pro. You can get more job opportunities. Come on.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Financial pro, because there are so many international jobs that actually benefit the people, even international, who speak the local language or like some other extra language. If you speak like German or French, you'll get like a bonus or something. That's one thing. And I think I'm just loving the music. Like this week, particularly, honestly, I've been so obsessed with the Turkish songs. I'm not sure if you have seen them on my Instagram. Like I asked my friends to share their favorite Turkish song yesterday, because I'm like, okay, I need to get going. I need to get going, because the feelings that each language invokes in you is very different.
It is.
And what I also like about the languages is like, whenever I speak a different language, it's different me.
Yes,
that's a theory. Like that's a theory I develop. And then one more theory is that the way I perceive it is like, there is a level of emotional attachment to each language. It's very different depending how close it is, the more expressive your language is going to be. This is pro for me, because the way I can express in different languages is very emotionally varying.
Uh-huh.
Like English is very neutral because it's work related, but like Kazakh is mother tongue, so I'm very emotional in that. And Turkish is very beautiful, like, so I can be extra emotional if I want to. Like I can express all the, you know, drama things too. So it's very interesting in that sense. So I think I'm pretty sure there are more pros. It's just they don't come up that easily in my mind.
No.
So do you want to add on that before we go to
the okay, before we go to the cons, right? I think you mentioned most of them. If I were to emphasize more or on anything in particular, I would say it's how it makes you more open-minded. So you just, when you have to learn other languages, you don't just pick up the language, you kind of pick up a bit of the culture. And so you begin to understand that the world is not just made up of you, your viewpoints and your culture, but that, you know, these people also have their own viewpoints and their culture. It doesn't mean you have to imbibe everything, but you kind of understand why they think the way they do. Because one thing I noticed with a lot of monolinguals is that, you know, sometimes going to another place, you kind of, they might expect, you know, everyone to sort of
understand
them and their lifestyle. Yeah, but you see people who have a really international experience or who
exactly
speak different languages, they just kind of try to blend in and first yes. absorb the reality of where they are
100%.
Instead of expecting it to be fine-tuned to them.
Yeah, and I can totally approve that. Like it's 100% true. Even like according to my personal experience and according to experience of my friends who are monolingual, it's very different perception and the way like I don't want to like, it's not offensive. It's just the way they perceive it. Mm-hmm. They almost never try to blend in because there's a view is very mono.
Yeah.
In that sense. But it's also one specific of that, right? Okay, yeah. So regarding the cons, it really depends on first how many languages do you speak per day. In my case, I say per day because it's like, it's always mixed up. So for example, in the morning, okay, I have a class, let's say I have to talk in English or explain myself in English. And then there is suddenly this break in between the classes and I talk the music in Turkish. And then after the break, I want to talk to my mom and I have to suddenly speak Kazakh and Russian.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, it gets mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
One way that I find myself, like it's inevitable to mix up the words. Like inevitable in that sense, but I'm pretty good in not mixing the languages. But sometimes, you know, you want to express some words because they're more showing what you meant.
Like, yeah.
Like even the Arabic one, halas.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to put it everywhere. If you are speaking English.
Yeah.
It's like even when I was in Kazakhstan, I was not in Saudi anymore. And I was just like, halas. Yeah. So like, and now like my parents actually picked up the words like in Turkish, like tamam, which is okay. And they always say, okay, tamam, mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. So you kind of pick up those languages and mix it up. And it is hard for people who do not speak the same set of languages to communicate with you super easily if you are not capable of like eliminating or like limiting yourself to one language at a time. Mm-hmm. That's one con. If you're not able or you did not learn how to just speak one language one at a time without mixing up, it's going to be hard.
I know more. I think I understand that because when I recently graduated from Russia and, you know, came home, or even when I went home for the holidays. So there were these words that people use very often, you know, words like karochi,
yeah,
those words, they are, they form the vocabulary of anyone who has lived in Russia, like at all, at any point in time. So my siblings had to kind of pick that up because I was putting it at the end of every sentence, and then I just had to tell them, okay, this is what this means. I mean, now I think I can sort of manage that. So even with Chinese, I think when you know, I want to make an exclamation, I think most of my exclamations now are in Chinese, and I just kind of had to explain to people what that means. But I do try to tone down on it because sometimes, depending on who the person is, it can come off as when you're not really doing that. Because I mean, I spend a lot of time at home, so. I mean, I do a lot of Chinese speaking with myself, and when I want to exclaim, like, oh my gosh, instead of them, like, what a liar, or like, tiana, you know, so it's like just normal for me, but you know, someone else might see it as, oh, right, what are you trying to say? But
actually, like, this is, I think people should judge less in that sense, because this is what I always see most often. If suddenly people generally don't expect you to speak more than one language. Okay, this is like a default hypothesis. And then once you speak more than one language, that's fine. But whenever I say that I speak those languages, people are super surprised. Like, for me, it comes natural because, like, those three languages, or even four of them, those three, Kazakh, Russian, and English, just because of my historical background.
Yeah.
And everyone, like, in my country almost speaks those three. And then, okay, it's just too extra, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But for people who don't know the historical background, it just feels like, wow, this is too much. And why you are even doing that? And then I don't like the way they perceive it as trying me to show off or my abilities of learning languages. I have to admit, I'm not super good at learning languages. Even though it may seem so, but it's not.
It's a lifetime journey. It's not like you just woke up one day and started speaking over French.
It's time, and it's not that I did like one language per year. And not really. I know people do that, but
yeah,
not me. That is a con. The mixing up is a con. And what else? I would say that there is not really much negative about learning the languages, because it's always fun. I think that should be it. It's just being to able to separate those languages. But one other thing, I like the reverse of this emotional attachment is a negative thing that I noted about it, is like the attachment, like, we are all people, we all curse, okay? And then the way when you curse, the way it feels, it's very different. Like, in English, I don't feel anything. I can just say bad words, and I feel like zero emotions. It's just a word, because I'm not really feeling it. Mm-hmm. And if my cursing languages are either Kazakh or Russian, in other languages, I cannot just feel it. Like, it doesn't give me those expressions, you know, and emotions. Like in German and Turkish, I cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
I know the words, but it's just not the same. And there is a level, like, the mother tongue is usually most often, for most people, is the one that is super emotional. Mm-hmm. Then the second one is less, and the third one is even less. And once you learn more languages, you are really not emotionally attached to it,
mm-hmm,
as you think, unless there is some other reasons. Like, but the more languages you know, generally, the less you are emotionally attached, and the less you can really express them yourself with a passion.
Okay.
That's one negative that I noticed. For some people, it can be a plus, but depends how you interpret it.
Yeah, I notice even like the way you behave when you speak each language.
You're a different person.
It's different. Yeah, you're a very different person. It's almost as if, well, if you're very connected to the language, it's almost as if the spirit of that language kind of just, you know, takes over you at that point. Your expressions are absolutely different, right?
A body language.
Yes, because the body language itself is a part of the language. And I think, well, probably also because, you know, I learned a lot of, maybe, let's say, Chinese specifically from movies.
Uh-huh.
I have a very dramatic, I'm very dramatic, especially when I'm alone. You know, I'm very dramatic when I'm practicing Chinese. I try to really express myself deeply. With Russian, I would say I try to watch people a lot because, you know, in class, it's just like, you know, very static, nothing really happening. But when you watch people, the way they express themselves, when they're upset, when they're happy in the language, then you kind of copy the emotions. Yeah. Really, what I do in language is just copy and paste. The way people express themselves, I just copy and paste.
Right. You try to re-express and adapt to your style.
Yeah.
This is the easiest. Actually, this is how kids learn. This is the fastest way to learn. That's why maybe the movies was the best way for you, because the kids don't really know the grammar, they don't know the words, the translation. It's just like they never even spoke, but they just see and try to copy it, and this is how they learn it.
Yeah,
by just copy.
Yeah,
I think this is how naturally it's done.
Okay, any more cons?
I don't think any others actually.
Yeah,
except maybe it can be expensive to learn a language. In terms of like you have to put in the time, and time is also like economic value, let's say. And then a tutorship, the teachers, the courses, it can also take time and money. But for that, it's
yeah. I mean, speaking of another language is almost always a plus. Really, there's not really that much that can be said. Okay. So I just have this list of questions. Well, it's not a long list, maybe just a couple of questions or three that polyglots usually get asked, you know. I know you probably know them already, but I'm gonna ask you those questions and you tell me what would be your typical answer, okay? So someone meets you for the first time, you're like, okay, I speak these five languages, and you're like, cool. Say something in Turkish.
I honestly just try to teach anyone just the basic phrases so that they know how to say hi and
how very polite.
Yeah. No, this is but what people usually ask is usually the curse word. Honestly, like
I hear that too. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, just say something bad.
I'm like, okay, I actually don't. I hardly know any curse words in any languages. So.
Yeah, me too. Like, I don't know most, like, except some. But that is, it's like hard to teach. I'm like, no, guys, I don't know any. I can teach you how to say hi and what's your name and like that you are from this country. That's fine. But
they want you to get a blackboard and like, sit,
let me teach you the curse words. But I would say something like merhaba, which is like hi. Nasılsın is how are you? Okay, let me just say the name of the song that I'm listening this week, because I told you this week is fully Turkish, and it's like so nice. It's called Ahcanım Sevgilim.
Ahcanım Sevgilim.
Ahcanım Sevgilim. It's like, my lovely love. So canım is a very sweet word to say my soul, and sevgilim is like my loved one.
Aww. So beautiful.
Is this words? I mean, why not? Period. Why should we only say that words?
Okay, nice. That's nice. I mean, the question always comes off to me as weird, because I'm like, for that moment, you know, sometimes it's like in a crowded area in the middle of, you know, You're in a very awkward situation at the moment, and you know your mind is probably not at that point, and you're like, say something, and you're like, what? And they're like, anything,
and you forget everything.
Yes, and you're like, what on earth am I saying? And so yeah, I just say something random, but it's weird because I'm like, I could say anything, and you wouldn't even know if I was.
How would you check?
Yeah, so, but it's nice that you take the time to, you know, teach them a few words like hi and all that.
I see if they're really into that and they want to know. I'm always open to teach and suggest anything, because I think the intentions is what matters.
Yeah. Okay, and then another question is, what language do you think in?
Good question. So most often, I have to say, it's Russian. Like most often, it's Russian. I used to think in Kazakh before. But now it's mainly, if it is work related, I only always think in English. Like, I cannot because my professional, I have never learned it in any other language except English.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. So it is either English or Russian.
Okay. What language do I think in? English is my mother tongue, so I think basically in English. Recently, I think a lot in Chinese, but you know, it's like I'm thinking a mixture of Chinese and English. So I'm thinking of something and I'm thinking solely in Chinese until I get to the words that I can't speak. And then my brain tries to reach for an alternative, maybe reaches for Russian and then maybe reaches for English. But I think it's just because I spend a lot of time consuming Chinese content, but otherwise, yeah, it's just English. I just thought about French. I can't like say anything in French. No, I can't say something, but I mean, it's like so many years ago since I learned French. So it's just like somewhere way bad.
The way I say something in French is just je ne parle pas français. Nope. That's it. And then people get even more confused. This is my like a trick. Basically, whatever language I can say, I don't speak that language in some different languages. So, io non parlo italiano, and io non hablamo, I'm not sure about the Spanish.
Io non hablo,
you know, hablo
español.
Okay, and je ne parle français, and those three languages are key ones. So, whatever people ask, do you speak French? I'm like, je parle français.
Yeah, and that has to be one of the first things you learn, because it's like, you know, your protection.
Yeah, but no, actually, it is very confusing, because people are asking you in French if you speak French, and you say, I don't speak French in French.
And probably like, with a good accent.
Okay. You're like, and they're like, how come?
I think they think that you speak it just a little, but you're afraid, and so you're like, no, dude, really.
I don't speak this language. Maybe I should say it in English or something, but it's just fun to see the reaction.
Okay. Let's see. One more question probably in that light. Is it okay to learn many languages at once?
So I made an experiment. I can actually tell with experience. So I tried to learn. There's a program that I was trying to enroll in. It was simultaneously learning French, Spanish, and Italian. Because the structure-wise, they're very similar. Mm-hmm. And even like the way you say yo, it's the same as in Spanish. French is a little bit different, but they're all Latin-based.
Yeah.
So it's very similar. And the endings are very similar. So I think it is a good idea.
If the languages are closely related?
Doesn't matter. Actually, if they're very closely related, it can help. If they're very apart, that can also help not to get confused.
Okay.
So actually, there are both ways. Depends how confused you become. Because the only drawback that I saw, I could not make a difference between Italian and Spanish. I hope no Italians and Spanish speaking people actually get offended. But it's just when you start learning and then it's yo and then yo there, it's just like you cannot make a difference in the beginning. So it's a good thing if you have everything settled in your mind. But it's also a good thing in general, true. You can also learn two distinct languages. I think that also develops more memory. Mm-hmm. Depends how much time and dedication you have. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, because the popular opinion is, no, you should focus. And I get that point. But if you have the time and the luxury of being able to learn two languages at once,
I think it's really good, because like I was trying to pick up some Arabic, and then Arabic is very different from any other language that I speak. So like I can still learn some German words. Why not? Like it does not contradict each other.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's about it for those questions, you know, the popular questions.
Yeah.
Just one more question on my part. You know, how do you deal with the bits of culture that you pick for these different languages? Because for me, I would say maybe I kind of grew really, really attached to Chinese at some point, and just kind of wanted to learn so much about the culture. And at a point, I felt myself kind of slipping into that culture. It's not like, okay, I wanted to abandon my culture and then become Chinese. Oh, no, but you know, it's just like you're, and I still haven't been to China, by the way, but you know, just trying to get as much of that culture as you can in your mind. And now I think I've sort of balanced that out. But, you know, I'm wondering, okay, every language I really, really get into, I might, you know, have this tendency to slip too much.
Yes.
And, you know.
But is that necessarily bad? It's like,
no, it's just sometimes I think when I'm around those people, I kind of struggle too much to blend in. You know, I have to also remind myself that I'm not gonna, for example, you're learning Arabic and you might not necessarily blend into the culture at all times, you know, when you're with Arabic speakers, but you know, you feel like, I really do want to blend in so much. That's not really happening, but that's not the main issue. You can talk about that though, but that's not the main issue. You know, I was just talking about how you deal with, you know, these conflicting cultures inside you all the time when you're learning different languages.
That's a very interesting question, because the cultures, the languages that are represented, they are similar, but they're very different too. Definitely, it depends on the environment I am, and depends highly on my mood. It's probably super personal, but lately I think I've been slipping into the Turkish more, because I'm being so obsessed with Turkish food nowadays that I really want to express all my love and with this word, ah canım sevgilim, like all the love songs are solely, it's another problem that sometimes you want to, you know, have, you want to pull someone over and like, you know, express these words to them in this language, but they don't get it.
I did it
like this week. So actually I was talking with a friend, like, oh, you know, I'm really obsessed with Turkish, so you should learn this word and this one, let's use it together during our lunch breaks. I'm like, they're like, no. I mean, they don't speak it, and I don't get it now. I think we should, but I'm fine. Like I'm accepting that too. It's fine. They're just my friends, but they're not conflicting. They're complimenting, because you can always be super adaptive. This is what it helps with. So basically, all my life I was very adaptive in pretty much every aspect of my life, and when something you encounter is requiring this characteristic of yours, like every language is representing very different characteristics, in a sense, like Kazakh is very soft, but still you can get the stuff done.
Uh-huh.
The Russian is, in my opinion, it's very soft, in my opinion, but it's very expressive, like, and you still keep pushing, you curse, but you still keep pushing, that kind of style, you know, it's like, you don't give up. This is my Russian way of thinking.
Uh-huh.
And English is super neutral, like I don't really care kind of stuff. In Turkish I want to be lazy, and in German it's like, just get stuff done, super, like, this is a typical stereotypical of German, but this is the my thinking of it too. So if I want to have something done, this is has to be done, that's it, there is no limit, no right or wrong, you just go straight, that kind of stuff. So it really is depending if I want to be, like, in which mood I am and what I want to pick up. It's not that I really have to speak that language to feel this way. It's just, I can just listen to this song. It reminds me of the feelings and the language.
Yes.
It invokes some emotions and I'm already in this flow. So, like, if I really want to put myself to work, even though I don't really want to work, what I listen is to hardcore Russian rap. So which says, like, oh, you know, this hard times, blah, blah, I want to get my, I want my house, I want to get this stuff done. And this is that kind of, like, hard life rep. This is what helps to get things done. And you are, like, in this mood immediately. And then if I want to feel myself either homesick or, like, super lovely and funny, this is when I listen to I think music is a big part for me, but this is how I try to switch on or switch off one mode. It can be conflicting if you want it to be, because, like, German is very different from all other languages. It's very, in culture-wise too, like, people are in Germany more Kurdish. This is the way people perceive it generally.
Uh-huh.
It tends to be true in general also. So if you want the cultures to be conflicting in your case, you can do that, but how to avoid it? You don't have to accept it all.
Yeah.
You don't have to accept it all. Like, speaking a language does not necessarily mean that you are the... You will not be never become a native speaker, that's one. And you can just get the part that you like and just don't accept the others.
Literally.
No one is pushing you to do that, actually. It's your choice to learn the language and it's your choice to perceive it the way you want it.
Interesting, interesting. It's kind of similar to the conclusion I came to after a while, you know, trying to stay your original self.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course you will pick up some bits and pieces from all these cultures, but trying not to lose yourself in all of it, you know, trying to, if you spend too much time trying to fit in here, fit in there, you're going to get tugged in so many directions. So the languages are sort of an accessory. They're not like the driving force of your personality.
Right.
Okay, I think we've been going for, you know, quite some time now. I don't know if you have something you want to add.
No, I was just curious, like, I don't think you specified how many languages you speak. Like,
that's about it. So there's English, there's Russian, there's Chinese, I think that.
But it's already good. They're very different languages.
Yeah, they're very different.
They're not from one.
So Arabic, I'm trying to pick up Arabic now, and I will have to go back to French because, I mean, I still kind of understand when people have simple conversations, but it's just so far back that, you know.
Did you learn it at school?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. So after I graduated high school, then I just kind of stopped. And then when I got to Russia, I met some French speakers. I spoke for a while, like my first year. And then, I don't know, I kind of just left it by the roadside. But I should pick it back up. Yeah.
That's great. No, I think French is such a beautiful language.
Yeah, it is.
But it's such a complicated one because they omit and did not pronounce everything. They just write, but the way you pronounce it.
Yeah, it's very different.
So much paper waste. There had been a study on that.
Really?
There had been a study how much government actually spends much more because they do everything in French and how much, like, the number of words they have to print versus number of
words they actually pronounce.
Yeah. There had been a study and economics is
very... That's crazy.
They lose millions on that.
Oh my gosh.
But it's still beautiful.
Yeah, nice thing about Russian, everything is just pronounced the way it's written.
I prefer that style. It's the same in Turkish and in German too. The way it's written, you pronounce it exactly the way it should be. But yeah, I think I want to just conclude with one thought, just suggesting the listeners, if you want to start a language or like you really like one, just start. Like, it's as simple as that. And you don't have to have any application. One friend recently showed me that the way he studies is just through Google Translate. And it found it so inspiring and so easy. I'm like, how didn't I come up with this?
Hey, you just want to know the meaning of a word? Go check it out.
Right. If you just want to say, hello, my name is this, just type it in. You already speak the language. Nice. That is so easy. Like... And this is the way I'm trying to approach Arabic because I've been here for some time now and I still don't know it. I think it's just I want to speak. I don't really have to like write first. I have to be able to speak something to be able to encourage myself.
Yeah, gain some further momentum. Just
right, get because without momentum, I cannot start now. So the way I'm trying to do is just like, if I want to learn something, I'm like typing it in Google Translate. Just translate it and just pronounce and listen. That's it. You don't have to have the grammar, the structure, the book and the teacher and the group or class. Like, no, just type the word in Google Translate. That's all you need. It's so accessible now. So to whoever is listening to us and want to start a language, just don't make it overcomplicated.
Yeah.
Start easy. Don't push on yourself. It's super accessible now.
Great. So you've heard that, guys. Don't create too many barriers for yourself.
No excuses. If you really want to start, just start. There's nothing stopping you.
Yeah. So this has been great. So thanks a lot, Damilia. And thanks, guys, for listening.
Welcome. Always welcome. Happy to be here.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.